Welcome to the Sit Rep. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Austin, and this is the Sunday Sit Rep. It's our first Sit Rep post 300 episodes. As I kind of alluded to in the last discussion, made sure I moved this one out a week so that this wasn't our 300th episode. As cool as these are, and as much as I like kind of rapping about current events, a little politics, you know, things like that, thoughts and feelings, did not feel that it was appropriate. So I went ahead and pushed this out a week. I'm sure you guys don't mind, but we got a lot of stuff to get into. There's plenty going on in the world. If you guys are joining us for the very first time, welcome in. And if this is not your first time, but it is your first sit rep, here's how it works. The sit rep is the once a month, but possibly more often, depending if, you know, really goofy stuff is going on in the world. This is the once a month time we sit down, we talk a little bit of politics, we talk some current events, we talk maybe a little bit of economics. I mean, certainly there's enough stuff going on in the markets and in the world with the tariffs and the administration's stance on trade and everything like that. It's really annoying for me, and I'm trying not to get too far into this right now, but it's really annoying for me seeing all the people that are just complaining about the tariff situation and talking about how it's just to make the rich richer, because it shows I think, with my background in finance, an overwhelmingly poor understanding of economics and how the market works. But we'll get into it. I'm not trying to throw shade. I just, you know, I wish people would get their information from more than like the conspiracy theory blogs. When they look at economic outturns and downturns and upswings and market reactions and things like that, because tariffs aren't new, but it's something that we seem to be acting like it's a world-ending and cataclysmic event because people don't like this president. Even people that really didn't like the last president don't necessarily like, you know, this president and his policies, and think that because, and I mean, keep in mind, guys, he's been in office for like barely 90 days here. Not even, I don't think. We're getting ready to look at his first 100 days in office pretty soon. And people are getting upset because he hasn't just like righted all the wrongs of the last 4+ years. It's like, I mean, he's one man, and I mean, as fast as some things are adjusting, everything takes time, but we don't have to spend all the time talking about that, and we're not going to spend all the time talking about that. I'm here, I'm recording, I'm hanging out with Drake. He's the best boy, he really is. We're going to get into some different things, you know. We're talk a little bit of Doge, we're going to talk about what's going on here on the podcast. Yes, we'll get back into the whole tariffs bit, just because it's super relevant, and we'll talk about why it's relevant to our community in preparedness in general, because, you know, otherwise I'm just sitting here kind of listening to the sound of my own voice. But we'll get into all of it. I promise you guys, it'll be relevant, and you guys will hopefully appreciate it when we're done here. Before we get into this week's discussion, though, Prepared Mindset, we're a weekly podcast, and the sit reps, of course, are monthly, sometimes sooner. Or more frequent? Yeah, sooner or more frequent. Yeah. Anyway, we are able to bring this content to you guys every week, full free, free 50, right? Full free, because we have some awesome partners in the industry that are supporters here of what we do. So we want to take a moment and say thank you to them. And that starts with our good friends at Custom Night Vision. You guys, actually just was messaging back and forth with Kevin over at Custom last night as I was out on my patio having a beer playing with the night vision, because night vision's awesome. And you guys should head over to their website. It's customnightvision.com. Take a gander. Look into what it would cost you to get into some night vision, whether it's a single tube or a dual tube device. And you may be surprised at how accessible this stuff is now in 2025. So whether it is a PVS 14, which is, I mean, it's like the grail of night vision devices, not like unobtainium, but it's just, it's where everybody starts. It's where a lot of people just live, because it's so usable and so accessible and so versatile. And they have a ton of them in stock at Custom. Whether you want some NNVT tubes because you're balling on a budget, or you want to swing for the fences, you want to get into some L3 tubes while they're still available on the market, or maybe, hey, you've been rolling, you know, with the 14 for a while, and you want to up your game, you want to get into a binocular device, you want dual tubes, or maybe you're, you know, I don't know, maybe you want a scratcher and you want to get into some quads, reach out. It's customnightvision.com. They can take fantastic care of you guys. So you hit the website up, and actually in the lower right corner, there's a chat function, so you can reach out. You will talk directly with one of the team members there. So whatever questions you have, whether it's, you know, hey, do you have this in stock, or hey, I don't know, I'm going from a 2200 FOM white Elbit tube, and here's my spec sheet. You know, here's the numbers behind it. Can one of you guys give me a call? Can we match this up so I can swap into a housing without buying, you know, another two tubes? I just want to buy one. They'll help you with that. We've sent friends, we've sent family over there, had tremendous experiences, guys. Their mission is to provide the most transparent purchase and buying experience possible. Bunch of great dudes doing really, really fantastic work. They also carry all the accessories you guys are going to need to make that system run for you. So whether it's a helmet, they carry the full line of Team Wendy Bump ballistic helmets, right, including the Epic Specialist, which is out and super affordable. And honestly, guys, like, check the prices, add it to the cart. They have some great discounts on the Team Wendy line right now. They have lasers, they have lights, they have Wilcox mounts, optic mounts, a whole ton of stuff, you guys. It's customnightvision.com. Head on over, check it for yourself. Also, want to say thank you to the team over at Orion Training Group, you guys. Orion's fantastic. We've taken several classes from them. They're going to be in town next month teaching a two-day structure clearance course. It'll be my fourth if we count the classes at the HTA event that I've taken. And they have a cadre full of tremendously talented and passionate instructors. A lot of them have their own media presences online. So if you don't believe me, you don't want to just take my word for it. You can go check out Blake's YouTube. You can check out the Orion Training Group YouTube. Even Will, one of the instructors on the cadre, he has videos with TXC holsters. These guys are all over the place, and they're sharing the wealth of information that they have, the knowledge that they have, with anybody and everybody, as long as you're a U.S. citizen, who wants to learn. And I think it's absolutely fantastic, and it demonstrates and illustrates very, very clearly that these people are all very invested in your growth and your development and the success of our community. Head on over to OrionTrainingGroup.com and check out the course schedule. Guys, there's probably a class that's within driving distance of you, but if there is not and you really want to get them out there, reach out. Send them an email. That's what I did. I got in touch with Jared, went to one of the classes at HTA, talked to him there. They were going to be up here for the Michigan Officers Conference last year. We had put together a three-day class, and they're coming back this year for another two-day course. It's fantastic stuff. Really, really looking forward to it, you guys. It's OrionTrainingGroup.com. Go look for yourself. And last, but certainly not least, here are very, very good friends over at 100 Concepts. You guys, tremendous company, really. I can't say how much I appreciate and enjoy working with these guys, and it's hilarious to me now that you're kind of seeing a lot of posts and comments and people, you know, acting a fool all over social media trying to come for these guys, because it's crazy. I think they're out there trying to do the good work, right, to bring good products and good solutions, strong solutions to all of us out there in the field, whether it's their scrim, where they actually use, NIR compliant Cordura material, right? So it's not cheap fabric that's just cut and kind of thrown in a weird shape to cover your backpack. It's actual good quality scrim with good quality materials. Their light caps, their scope caps, the hex caps, you know, anti-reflective devices and things for your red dots all the way through your EOTechs to LPVOs and beyond, spotting scopes even. Guys, head on over to 100concepts.com. You can check out that whole lineup for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. Actually, I have one of their hex caps coming today for my Holosun 509 that's piggybacked on my SPR. I'm looking at it right now. Tremendous guys, tremendous company. Really, really enjoy the products and can't recommend them enough. It's 100concepts.com. Go check it out and pick up some gear for yourself today. Now, thank you. Thank you to all those guys. Like, seriously, really, really cool working with all of them. I had tremendous experiences with all of them as a consumer before we worked with them, and happy to be able to call them partners now. But this discussion is, we're going to kick this one off. This is the Sunday sit rep, and we're going to start a couple things, you know, here. I'll start a little bit light. You guys have heard the stuff in the news about this Doge, right? Which it's like something the Office of Governmental Efficiency. And so this is like the Elon Musk effort that everyone's getting all bent out of shape about and up in arms. And actually, I think in our community, most people are okay with it, because as a general perception or a general belief, general rule, if you will, right, we want less government spending and we want less government interaction in our lives. A lot of us, we're not talking Republicans and Democrats. I think actually it's more like libertarians. I think a lot of us fall in line with the libertarians. We just, you know, don't have the horsepower, if you will, as a libertarian party yet to have a libertarian president. But I think if you're talking about the concept of rolling back government spending, which is a good thing. Like, we spend way too much money as a government. If you guys look at where our budget is and the deficit we're in and things like that, it's just the national debt is so out of control. I think this Doge thing is actually kind of a good idea. I know Elon Musk was not like elected or appointed, or technically I guess he was appointed. but here's the thing, people are getting super upset and they're like firebombing Teslas and stuff, in, you know, the blue states mostly, but all over, right? Because they feel empowered to do this because Elon Musk is just a terrible human being. Musk isn't doing anything but the research, as far as I know. I think the government, and you guys, like, correct me if I'm wrong on this, the government is the one that's actually like, then the administration, I should say rather, is then the one making the decision to pull funding or change funding or close some of these offices. And, you know, that's kind of how this should work, you know, and people are getting all up in arms for different reasons. Like, oh, this, you know, Cancer Research Institute, they got this $400 million or whatever. They're, you know, they lost funding and Trump doesn't know what he's doing and he's a fucking idiot. And it's like, okay, well, just... I get it. And here's the thing is people then want to like crucify the administration because afterwards, like with park rangers, they laid off a ton of park rangers. And then after the fact came back and said, okay, we want some of you to come back to work because we found that to be necessary. Okay. Well, it's kind of like balancing the budget, like quite literally. So if you're married and you find out that your wife has a secret spending problem that you don't know about, right? And you guys have tens of thousands of dollars of the credit card debt that you are unaware of. And you now have to right the ship. So, I mean, you could do it a couple of different ways. You could, like, yeah, refinance the house and, like, take money out and borrow a shitload of money and try and pay your way out all at once and then pay that back over time. Or you can cut out all necessary, like, unnecessary spending and just pay those bills down as they come. To put it in, like, very simple terms with what you and I might deal with in our day-to-day life. And I think that some of us are either dealing with that right now or have dealt with that in the past. Or, you know, if you guys are young cats, maybe you'll deal with that in the future. I hope not. Interest rates right now are stupid. But I think that, yeah, you have to cut back and then you add back to that as needed, as you determine what is fiscally needed, what is actually required. Because as we were just saying a moment ago, like the government spending issue is a huge, huge problem. And how does that go? How is government spending facilitated? It's very simple. It's our tax dollars. And I think that the more of this we do, the more money that we can save the government. I mean, the hope is, right, that we will eventually see that turn into lower taxes, tax cuts for you and I. Yes, that includes rich people. Everyone's going to get like fucking up in arms and get pissed. Oh, the rich people are just going to save more money. No, that's tax cuts for everyone. And we'll get into the tax cuts for the rich thing like when we talk about tariffs in a minute, because I know some of you guys are just like salivating at the idea of being able to sit here and tell me that I, you know, are licking the boots of the rich or something. Some of you guys get really do get pretty fired up about this stuff. but speaking of Doge, I found a very interesting headline that I wanted to talk about. They basically found that three blue states, so Democrats are the blue party, right? Excuse me. Three blue states are to blame for most of the $400 million worth of unemployment fraud over the last 4 years. So basically during the Biden administration, we had approximately $400 million of unemployment fraud. So that means people that could have been working and just weren't, and they were defrauding the government to the tune of $400 million. And those three states, to almost nobody's surprise, California and New York, and then Massachusetts, which I was actually surprised by Massachusetts. I would have thought it would have been like some other, but I mean, maybe that's me. Maybe Massachusetts is really that Democratic stronghold and I'm just kind of stupid about it. But I digress. $400 million, that's close to $500 million worth of just fraud, where people just were too fucking lazy to go out and get a job and go back to work after the COVID lockdowns. Why does this matter for you and I in the preparedness space and the 2A community? Well, it comes back to basically, again, what pays for all of this? If you look at what $500 million translates into savings for, you know, people in those states, that's a lot of savings. That's a lot of savings. And here's the thing, as we continue to make these efforts, like, is $500 million going to fix anything? Maybe not. But is $500 million in combination with a couple of shutdown programs and a couple of offices and agencies that we don't really need, and then reduced staffing with people that we never actually needed, that turns into billions of dollars after you start looking at all of that. And then that savings should be and this is where the follow through has to come in here, should be passed on to us, the taxpayers. And that's going to help because then you and I are all able to live better quality lives. And I'm talking about, you know, those of us in the middle class here, right? I don't think anybody listening to this podcast is independently wealthy. And if you are, hit me up. I'd love to get some sponsor dollars going. but seriously, I think that, you know, there's something to be said for cutting back on taxes, because we don't need to be paying for all of that shit. We just don't. And the bigger and more upsetting problem here is I learned about this stuff when I got my first quote unquote real job in like corporate America or in finance. I started off as a bank teller. So I was a bank teller and banker for about 5 years. So working directly with the public, this was all pre-COVID. And actually prior to that, I was kind of liberal. You know, I've shared a lot of times on this podcast that my experiences in life were basically centered after high school around music, teaching music, the liberal arts. So I was actually fairly liberal, and I did vote for Obama, which, I mean, if I could go back and change it, I probably would, but I can't. So it is what it is. It's a learning experience. I think a lot of us go through that developmental change in life where we go through public school, where we're told that these liberal ideas and these liberal leaders are doing revolutionary things to make the world better. And then we kind of make up our minds after that, if that's how we really feel and how and what we really believe or not. So all of that to say, as a teller and as a banker, I would see these people coming in every month, right? And they would be cashing their welfare checks and their unemployment checks. And at the time, I was not making a lot of money. Even as a banker, I think I topped out like $35,000 or $38,000, you know, and this was a while ago, right? But I wasn't making the money that I probably should have been, right? And maybe I could have, you know, I could have left and gone to other companies and stuff, but there's a whole lot of like career wisdom in not jumping jobs every year, like some of you young cats like to do. If you can stay and put down some roots for 2, 3, 5, 7 years and then move, you'll probably see that things go a little bit better for you. But sometimes you can't do that. I get it. But I digress. So I would see these people come in at the beginning of every month. It was the first Friday of every month. And sometimes you have people on disability. But then you, like, I'll never forget, we would get these women that would come in, they would roll up, they would park right in front of the door, because they'd be coming in when nobody else came in. They'd be coming in at like 10, 10:30 in the morning, or like 1:30, 2, 2:30, 3 o'clock when people are still at work. So they'd be coming in at the lull points in the day, right? And they would park right in front of the front door, so they didn't have to walk. They were usually overweight, but then they were like always, every time I saw these people, they were dressed to the nines. So like their hair was always done, their nails were always done. These women always had new purses, new cell phones, and they'd come to just either if they got their money direct deposited, you would, I mean, obviously I could look at it, I could see the thousands of dollars they were getting every month, or they had a check and they would cash it. And They would, and it's not like, hey, we're going to like do this responsibly or equitably, right? Like, hey, I get $6,500 every month for me and my kids and everything. And I'm going to take $2,000 of that and I'm going to stick that in the savings account. And then I'm going to put the rest in my checking. And can you give me, you know, $300 cash for, you know, like walking around money? And whatever, like it doesn't really matter how you allocate your funds. I'm not telling anybody how they should manage their bills and things like that. But I pointed out to say is it wasn't like people were in a lot of these cases, not all of them, but in a lot of these cases I experienced, these people weren't like living off this money. They were just like fucking off with this money. And they were going out and partying and drinking and just having more kids, you know, not married. These weren't like families like what I'm saying is these weren't people that actually needed the fucking help. In almost every instance. And why it bothered me so much is then because I had friends. I have a very good friend who I've known for, you know, upwards of 20 years at this point. His mother, I believe it was lupus. She has lupus. So she, you know, she was a school teacher. So they didn't make like a ton of money, right? But great, fantastic woman. Really, really nice people, all of them. And she had to apply for like disability, I think 5 times before she finally got approved. And she is one of the people that like, hey, you have a debilitating illness. These are the kinds of people that the system was enacted to help assist. And it's not that they don't want to work. It's not that they don't want to pay their way in the world and all those things, right? They just can't because of the medical disadvantages, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, they have. That's where the spirit of all this really comes in. But instead, this system rewards these people who just pop out kids left and fucking right. They get child support and alimony and spousal support or whatever the fuck. And then on top of that, they seem to somehow be able to collect unemployment for what seemed like an endless amount of time. I know there's restrictions in place now and you got to like technically get a job for a little bit. But these people, like, it always seems like these folks are the ones that like master the system where they know, they learn how to game it. Well, they'll go get a job for like 90 days and then they'll get themselves fired by just not showing up or whatever. And then they'll get right back on that unemployment for the year or 24 months, whatever it is. And that's what's upsetting the most, like, because we all work really, really hard and we want to have our own money to spend. So in terms of how that helps us, think about this. Like, we've all had those thoughts like, hey, I really want to buy night vision, but I don't have the extra money, or it's going to take me a really, really long time to save up for it. Well, what if you paid half as much in taxes on every check? Think how much extra, like, I mean, as painful as it might be, when's the last time you guys looked at your pay stub and saw how much you paid in your taxes and FICA and all that shit, right? So if that got cut in half, think about the hundreds of dollars that are added to your check. And think about it in terms of you're surviving off what you make today. So if that's $300-$400 every check that you can now just, you could just take and set that aside and on top of what you already set aside, how much faster could you reach your goals? Whether that's for gear, right? Or a new, like a Night Force optic or something, or a new rifle or an ammo budget, or maybe it's something really awesome like a fucking family vacation, right? Or maybe it's something that you would otherwise have to borrow money for, like a new furnace or hot water heater, right? This is why I'm saying this shit matters, because when we talk about people are like, well, I don't fucking care about politics. I don't fucking care about, well, here, do you care about yourself and your sustainability and your survivability? Because all too often when we hear those things, we only think of going out in the woods and getting, like, you know, multiple layers on and camping out and stuff like that. Survivability, when you have a family, is a very different conversation. Right. So, yes, having a hot water heater that's able to produce hot water, having a furnace that's going to run reliably and well enough to keep your home warm in the cold months, especially if you live up here in Michigan or any of these really northern, more northern states where we get down in the single digits every fucking winter, or you have to replace your windows. And here's the thing. Yeah, you can borrow money to pay for that. But do you want to if you don't have to? Like, no, fuck no. Nobody wants to borrow money if they don't have to. So how do we make more money? Yeah, you could go out and just beat the street and try and get a better job every, you know, 12 to 18 months. Or, yeah, there's a way we can do this by addressing our tax situation. Which, yeah, that's why I find this all so relevant and exciting that there's actually efforts being made. I don't care that Elon Musk was appointed and not elected. I really don't fucking care. If he's discovering this stuff through legitimate means of research and then taking it to the administration because he's trusted with this and they're actually going to do something about it, I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of it because I want less government in my life. Tell me what I have to do. You guys, if you're still against that concept, and I don't think a lot of people in our community are, I know they may not love the administration, but at the core concept, less government spending, I don't think people are that upset about that. I would really love to hear why you're upset about that, because I think the end goal is probably one of the best for what you and I are really hoping to get out of this presidency, this administration, especially coming out of 4 years where, despite what the news said and despite what the news is telling you right now, the economy was worse over the last 4 years. The news lied to you. We were in a recession. We've seen the grocery store shelves like empty. Like, we've seen that. And ironically, it actually got worse after COVID lockdowns than it did before because of all the damage done during COVID. And again, when we talk about sustainability and survivability and preparedness, your emergency food stores should be enough to get you about 2 weeks. You should not be planning to live off emergency food stores for more than two weeks or 2 months. Your grocery stores should still be a source of food in the event that things go weird here and everything. And if your grocery stores in normal times aren't stocked, think how bad that's going to get if we were to have another COVID hit today and our shelves are 70%, 65% stocked, right? A, do we have, with the rising cost of groceries and the taxes that were increased under the Biden administration, because that's what Democrats do, they just tax the living shit out of you to make life better. Ironic, right? Oh, we're going to help the middle class by taxing everybody. Like, okay, so, and they claim that, you know, at the same time, the middle class is dead. We have the poor and the low class, and then we have the rich and the high class. And you're raising taxes for on everybody for these weird programs that 80% of us don't get any actual benefit from. Our quality of life goes through the shitter as they sit there and piss on us and tell us it's raining. It's like, no, that's not it. So all of that, I mean, I digress. I get pretty emotional about it, obviously. But I think this is a great effort. I think that we can have this is, I think it's an opportunity for us as a country to really right track some things. And I hope there's follow through. That's it. I hope there's follow through. And if I'm wrong, you guys can all message me and tell me, hey, you're a retard for believing that this was going to be better. And I will say, yes, I was. Thank you. Thank you for listening. That's what I'll say. So moving on, we can talk a little bit here about the tariff situation because it additionally has some widespread implications to the preparedness discussion and what you and I all actually deal with on a regular basis and how we kind of go about getting a lot of our goods. I wouldn't say services, but probably our goods. So it's no secret. And most of you guys know, because a lot of you guys share it on social media and bitch about how this makes people richer while making the rest of us poorer. So Trump's plan to help balance things out on an economic standpoint in the market here in the U.S. is by imposing trade tariffs on all of our trade partners. So what a tariff is essentially is adding a tax, more or less, right? So simple terms here. Basically adding a tax onto imported goods from certain countries. So Chinese goods, for instance, they are being imported to the country. I don't know what the numbers are. I heard it was like 100% tariff. So if Chinese goods are coming to this country, let's say it's that Holosun Iris that you want for $1,000, right? But it's made in China. So as it's imported, you have to pay 100% tax on that. So here's the way that works. Either the company has to cut back their profit margin and not make any money on it or even lose money on it. Or what actually ends up happening is they increase the price because they want to maintain their profit margin. So that $1,000 laser or $900 laser becomes $1,800 to $2,000. And people say, oh, well, this is just keeping the rich richer because these businesses want to make their profit margins. Yeah, that's how businesses stay in business. So if you want the market to fall apart and you want businesses that you order from regularly to not exist anymore because they weren't able to make money to keep the fucking doors open, then cool, keep going. So what this is supposed to do, in theory, is to get these other countries to drop their tariffs against us. Because on goods that we export to other countries, there's a lot of countries out there. And you guys can look up the numbers. There's a lot of countries out there that charge tariffs against U.S.-made goods. And for decades now, we've just been paying it. And then because of that, it is then cheaper to move production to those other countries. Which, when you move production out of the U.S., A, you usually lose your quality control. Just because it's cheap and uneducated labor over there. And it could be in any of these countries. It could be Mexico, it could be China, it could be Vietnam, it could be whatever, right? So the quality of the goods usually goes down. It is cheaper for us as a consumer, but then you're usually buying more often because you have to replace this shit when it fucking breaks. But then also the jobs leave the country with it. So what they're trying to do with the tariffs in simplest terms here is they're trying to bring jobs back to America. And over time, this will actually then lower the price of American-made goods in this country. And that directly impacts us here because everybody wants to buy their gear. Like, so think about nylon kit and optics and your rifles. Everybody wants American-made everything. People want, like, a great example are like the Argus 1431 night vision units, which a lot of companies actually have stopped selling because they are a Chinese clone. Rip-off, knock-off, a Chinese clone, right, of the 1531s that L3 makes. So because it's a complete copy, albeit in some ways more reliable in some people's experiences. I've never tried 15s. I've only had the 1431s, and I love them, but that's besides the point, is that we want those things made here in America, and then we'll drive the prices down by having the production centered here. That's the end goal. So what we really want to do with these tariffs is bring jobs back and bring revenue back to the United States and stop sending all of our money overseas. And we also want to have this, like, some of these countries, you guys look up the list, like, we're being charged out the fucking nose through some of these countries for stuff that we export. And that's just totally fine. because they're allowed to do that. And then we make our the companies here. Why that's important is like the companies here, if they want to be marketable, that means they have to roll back their profit margin when they're on their exported goods. And some companies, their entire business model is off of exported goods. They do a lot of foreign exchange. They do a lot of international transfers and things like that. And they pay huge tariffs. Like, we're talking double digits. And I'm not talking like 12%. I'm talking 40% tariffs and stuff. But because it's the United States. And we have more money than everybody, apparently, while also lending out all of our money to places like Ukraine. And you guys see where why this becomes so problematic is if we have to pay more on everything that, if we have to lose more on everything we send out, pay more for everything that we're bringing in, and then also we're expected to be, as the world's superpower, right, the bank of the world that lends out money to everybody, and the military and police of the world that sends troops and everything, which costs a shitload of money to everybody, at some point there just isn't money left. So all of that, right, we bring it back together, right? So these tariffs are designed not to long-term do anything. It's to try to pressure these other countries, which, at least from the reports I've seen, it seems like several countries are willing to come back to the table and go to net zero. Like, hey, let's figure out how to make this work. We'll each charge each other 0% tariffs, which gets us back to a free market economy, which in theory, again, is better for everyone. Now, my hope is if you were charging $1,000 for a product because you had a 40% tariff on it, then we see at least a little bit of a reduction there. Maybe not a complete reduction. You're not going to drop it the full 40%. But if it's a 30% reduction, you guys still keep a 10% profit margin increase, and we as a consumer save 30%. Cool. I will agree if companies go, oh, cool, you dropped the tariff, we're going to charge the same amount because that's what we've been charging. I think it's pretty shitty, because then that becomes a new expectation. And that is, to a lot of people's point, right? That's the problem with large corporate business in America, is that these companies get these margins and then they do everything they can to maintain that because they want to, you know, these executives want to keep their jobs and, you know, they are beholden to their shareholders and everything. So, oh, we just increased profit margins 40%. Well, we want to maintain that. And it's like, well, you can still have a really good year without doing that. And I think that that comes down to morality in corporate America. That's business in general. It's not even corporate America, because a lot of these companies are international. But that's a really big deal for us, especially in states like Michigan. I mean, you guys know I'm in the Detroit area. As the epicenter of auto manufacturing, this is a really fucking big deal. And this is actually why it's making headlines that our governor, who I have gone on record many times saying, I don't like our governor. I think Gretchen Whitmer is a terrible governor here in Michigan. I could tell you basically nothing of positive contribution that she has brought to the state during now her, this, she's in her second term as the governor. She campaigned on fixing our roads. That never fucking happened. We now have like a freeway closure on one of our main arteries that connects basically, you know, the two major portions of Southeast Michigan. It's going to be closed for 2 years because we just, in another decade, it'll have to be done again because the roads are so bad here. We got potholes everywhere. Municipalities are basically, you know, tasked with fixing them themselves without state intervention. And then every winter, you know, it makes the news about how many tires, you know, are blown out from potholes and rebar sticking out and stuff. So she's not good, and I don't like her. However, she's kind of doing something interesting here where she's kind of crossing party lines and, like, she's starting to lean into and embrace this tariff idea with President Trump visiting the White House. I think our state speaker of the House also was there on that visit to talk about this. And I know the people in the Democratic Party are probably very upset about it. Here's the thing, though, guys. And this just proves the point. You can't really trust politicians most of the time unless you're trusting that they're going to serve their own best interest. So who keeps people in offices? It's their constituents. It's the people that vote for them, right? Well, what do we have here in Michigan? The automakers, right? So used to be called the Big Three because they're the top three auto manufacturers in the world. Ford, GM, and Chrysler. Chrysler does not exist anymore, for those of you guys keeping score. Chrysler as a brand, I think, only makes a couple vehicles, but Chrysler is now Stellantis. So Stellantis owns like Alfa Romeo, I'm pretty sure. They own all of the Chrysler brands, so Jeep, Ram, Dodge, Chrysler. And then I think there's a couple more. Might be Peugeot. but that's Stellantis. And then you got General Motors that does, you know, they do GM, they do Chevrolet, you got Ford. So that covers everything, like Lincoln and Oldsmobile. I think Oldsmobile is a GM brand, but so all your American manufacturers, right? So we used to, but we're all based here in Michigan. Like the headquarters are here. They've tried for years to get the Stellantis / Chrysler headquarters out of Auburn Hills here in Michigan. It's a huge campus. They can't sell it, so they're staying here. Her constituents that got her into office, there's a large portion of our population that work either in the plants and manufacturing or office-related roles and support functions for those manufacturers, or they work at companies that are adjacent and partners to those companies. So it has a huge impact here in Michigan, but it also in the basically the rest of the nation, because the auto industry is one of the biggest and strongest industries in this country, which is why we had the financial bailout of those companies a few years back. And everybody fucking remembers that because it was so brutally stupid that it even had to happen in the fucking first place. But keeping us on track here, why this is important is because a lot of people think that it points to Whitmer potentially setting herself up for a presidential run in 28. Which would be fucking hilarious, because I shouldn't say it's hilarious. It's scary and like, haha, funny in that awkward way, because she won the election here, in Michigan and, wasn't really super happy about that, obviously, but apparently a lot of people voted for her. Maybe it was just a bad opponent, which is, I think the Republican Party here in Michigan did, but it's interesting to start seeing people start to cross these party lines to embrace some of these ideas, even if it is for self-serving means. But that's the way things are going. We're supposed to have like a 90-day stay on these new tariff policies as people are coming to the table to try and work this out. And if this does happen, then yes, we should see more immediate changes and improvements to the quality of goods and things like that. I don't know if that's for sure the way it's going to happen. I think in a logical world, it would. And people are saying, oh, well, and this is what really fires me up is like guys like posting this dumb shit. We're like, this is just to keep the rich richer. Listen, vote with your dollars, all right? And choose where you spend your money. If the company is maintaining profit margins after it comes out that they just got a huge tariff reduction, then go buy something elsewhere. I don't know what else to fucking tell you. People that own businesses have to make money because that's how they fucking stay in business. It's not a fucking charity. It's what people who really like preach socialism, and even some of you guys in the libertarian circle that just think that every fucking company with more than 20 employees is a evil mega giant corporation, which is not true, by the way. You guys, they have to make money. They have to make money. And here's my question too, is if you launched your own small business and your own endeavor, don't you think with all the hard work and everything that you put into running that business, maintaining that business, and all the risk and personal accountability that you put on the line every day with your job, that you would want to be fairly compensated? I'm not trying to justify all of the profit margins and the corporate, you know, bullshit, but I am saying like there's a large amount of responsibility tied into that. And the people that usually bitch the most about this stuff are the people who work in lines of work with minimal responsibility and spend their entire lives bitching about how what happened to them isn't fair and it's somebody else's fault. Guys, please, more accountability. Like, stop complaining about what somebody else didn't do for you or isn't doing for you and start just fucking working a little bit harder. It sucks. I'm sorry. That's life. And if you guys are still listening at this point, some of you guys probably heard that and clicked this off. So, sorry, not sorry. That's just how I was raised. It sucks. Yeah, it does. But what's your alternative? So, vote with your dollars, be smarter on where you buy stuff. Okay. and then also like just understand that 90%, well, okay. 90% is an over exaggeration. We'll just say a lot of what you're going to read online, is fed through some news sources that aren't necessarily reliable. What I would challenge you to do is read on some of the core concepts and tenets of economics and understand how this shit fucking works before you just start sharing shit all over your Instagram stories and Facebook because you think you're a political mastermind because you went to fucking CNN.com or FoxNews.com or your favorite fucking influencer on YouTube told you this, so now you're a fucking genius. Like, some of you guys are really, I mean this, some of you guys are too stupid to talk. Like, you can't, you shouldn't talk because you would deprive your brain of the precious oxygen it needs for your core functions. And it's really upsetting because I work in finance, like not in the trading sector. I don't work at the trading desk or the foreign exchange desk or anything like that. But like, I work in finance and people always want to fucking argue this shit with me. I'm like, no, I live this every day. Believe me, I know what's fucking going on out there. I've seen the headlines. I know what's going on. But I also have people who like literally run private wealth organizations and stuff and banks and things like that. That whether you guys fucking hate banks, we don't got to get into that either. But like, believe me, I'm operating with better information than you are, because what we operate off of, like real money, is won and lost in those conversations. Not the, you know, the make-believe world where a lot of people like to play about this stuff. But this is directly impactful to you and I, because it will really have an effect on the cost of goods and services here, which includes things that we need: clothing, food, sustainment items, right? So medicines and things like that. Like, this stuff is all really, really vital to the discussion. And if these tariffs are the way that, if it means that we have a little bit of temporary suffering to get to a better overall position, I think we just need to grin and bear it. Like, give the guy at least 6 months to see what happens, right? We just endured 4 years of horrific leadership and sending all of our money to Ukraine. Like, we can do another 6 months. And then at that point, yes, I will concede. If by, you know, by August, things are not drastically better or headed to the position of drastically better, I will agree with all you guys that this shit is stupid and that it's making things worse. But sometimes it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets a lot better. And I think that that's the phase we're in right now, and it's just hard to see it. So yeah, getting off of that though, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on here at Prepared Mindset. Last couple episodes. So very specifically, this is episode 301. So it's our first episode past 300, which is a huge milestone. If you guys haven't, if you guys haven't had the opportunity to go check out episode 300, please give it a listen. I do my best to share a lot of the appreciation I have for you guys as the audience, for following me, for listening to me sit here and spew bullshit about politics, as well as some of the great interviews I've had, mostly because my guests are fantastic people. It's a really big milestone. You know, we're in April, right? So 5 years ago in April is when I was standing this up. I was buying microphones. I was buying the laptop. I was learning how to use this stuff. I was, I think I stood up the Instagram page either late April or early May, because I think the first episode went live in like June, but the effort itself, actually the planning and the organization, was a couple months in advance. And so 5 years, 300 episodes, hundreds of guests, you know, really, really cool stuff. And a lot of plans for the future. You guys probably saw that we changed the logo. So episode 300 gets into why we changed the logo, direction for the future, some things that are, you know, not like spoilers, but just some hints at what you guys might see going forward for the rest of the year. And then also, we did have a discussion recently on night vision with Duncan Green from US Night Vision. Now, you guys know that we partner with Custom Night Vision, who are some tremendous dudes. And the guys at Custom are actually pretty good friends with Duncan. So we all trust Duncan and kind of the insight and the expertise that he brings to the conversation. Why I bring this up, A, is that night vision is fucking awesome, you guys. Like, I don't just say that because, you know, we work with Custom. Like, it's awesome. I bought night vision. Jesus. I bought night vision from another company before I worked with Custom. I got my laser from them, and then we eventually later that year started working together, which was a really cool experience in and of itself. But, like, I'm telling you, night vision's awesome. And here's the thing. With what we talked about with Duncan, you guys should check it out, because it's gonna throw the market for an adjustment, like the night vision market, because L3 backed out of most of their consumer sales. They're gonna fulfill their contracts because legally they have to, but basically after 2025, so you got maybe 8 months left, right? But after 2025, you're not going to really be able to get a whole lot of the L3 tubes that a lot of guys insist are the best offerings on the market. Now, this is probably a business decision to try and win back market share, because you'll still be able to get the tubes. You'll just have to buy them in their housings and their devices. So you have to get either the 31s or the 31 alphas that L3 makes, which are already more expensive because it's L3. So to give you guys a rough comparison, if you were to buy a set of like 1431s with some L3 tubes in it, and this is going off what was like a year, year and a half ago, you're probably looking at $9,000 to $10,000 for that unit. Maybe a little bit under nine, but pretty close to that for the 1431s. Now, if you get the actual L3 1531s, you are looking at somewhere between $12,000 to $14,000. So there's a big markup there because it's their device with their tubes. And then additionally, you have to go through them specifically for the servicing. So with a lot of other devices, right, like the 1431s, I could send those back to Custom Night Vision or to US Night Vision or to whatever company, and they would be able to service them for me because they assembled those. They bought the housings from Argus. They got the tubes from L3. They got the lenses from Carson or Noctis or whatever they're calling themselves, and they assemble it and they sell it, right? When these companies are selling the L3 units, they come pre-sealed in plastic, which, fine, that's not, I'm not saying anything negative about it. I'm just telling you that these companies are basically just resellers of that product. They don't have the ability really to service and warranty the way that you would with other housings or options from like, you know, Nocturne or Low Light Innovations or AB Night Vision. So I point this stuff out because it's really impactful. If you're somebody who's been looking at getting into night vision for the past year or two or three or five or whatever, and you just never been able to shove that pill up your ass, I don't know what that means, but my brother says it all the time, you might really want to consider biting the bullet right now before prices go up. When L3 made their announcement, and this is not me saying this, Duncan said it on the pod, within the day or two or within the week of that announcement, you saw a lot of places immediately add $200 to $300 onto the price of all their L3 and Elbit tubes. Because here, it's not just that you can't get Elbit, it's not that you can't get L3 after this year or the L3 is now more in demand. It's that because of that increased demand and lower supply, now everybody wants the next best thing, which is the Elbit tubes. And I think Elbit makes fantastic tubes, but they can only produce so much, and they already have their contracts and things set for the year, and I think next year as well, which means that as that supply dwindles and supply goes down, that mean and demand is up, that means that price goes up as well. And that's why this is all really, and we get into all of it in that discussion, but that's why it's all really impactful to those of you guys wanting to buy night vision, because then the conversation becomes, well, okay, how bad is NNVT, the Chinese Gen 2 tubes? Personally, not something I recommend. Well, then I could look at Photonis. That's like Gen 2 plus. So it's a little bit worse than Elbit. Okay. Yeah. I mean, are you going to have a degraded performance? Maybe, depends on what you're using it for, but you really have to start looking at, okay, I need to make some decisions here. So it's very relevant to the conversation. I don't make money off of this recommendation, but like, go check out what Custom has going on. And I would recommend getting into some devices sooner rather than later, because it will save you guys. It'll save you money. It'll save you a bunch of money. We're talking hundreds of dollars here. And even if it's just a single tube device, it is a major game changer in capability when you get night vision. So those are two probably of the last like four or five episodes, probably the two most relevant ones I think you guys should check out. Really excited. The next couple of weeks, we have two guests lined up that I am really pumped. One is a gentleman who's a very active in the training space that I think is going to be a really good listen for you guys. And the other one is a gentleman that runs a company with a very highly anticipated product coming to market that we're going to talk about. And I think you guys are going to be really excited for both of those. Don't hold me to it, because sometimes like emergencies happen. One of them's already a reschedule just because like two emergencies happened at once, and it just is the way things go sometimes. But I think it's going to be really, really good stuff. Appreciate you guys checking this out. If you're listening at this point, please go to the YouTube channel and subscribe to the YouTube. We just dropped our part two on overt versus covert today as I'm recording this. Spoiler alert, I'm recording on Saturday. I'm not doing it on Sunday, but it'll drop on Sunday. So it'll be Sunday to you. But go check out the YouTube channel and subscribe. Drop stuff in the comments. You guys heckle me if that's what you're there for. Like, some of you guys really get into that stuff, and I'm here for it. My skin has gotten much thicker as I've become more involved with social media and stuff. So the engagement is good no matter what you're saying, to be completely honest with you. But the YouTube channel is a huge focus. We're basically releasing weekly now, weekly shorts, weekly videos. I think we got the next 2 weekends worth of videos, or 3 weekends worth of videos, are lined up, ready to go. We got shorts dropping. If there's stuff you guys want to see or talk about, like, shoot us a message. The engagement's fantastic. Like, I love getting messages from you guys. Like, had a handful of people already reach out. Hey, I love the new logo. I think the logo is fantastic. Love you guys. Thank you. I'm happy to see that it was well received by the masses. And then also like, hey, thank you so much. I listened to this discussion that you had on the pod and it really helped me and my friends. Like, we're changing how we train. We're being more adaptive. Or I really like this interview. You know, all that stuff. It's fantastic. I love it. And the YouTube is now our biggest point of focused growth for 2025. So my goal is to double between now and the end of the year. So over the next 8 months, I would love to hit 3,000 subscribers. And if you guys are all checking this out right now, you go ahead and hit pause, go jump on over to the YouTubes, look up Prepared Mindset. You'll see same logo with the mountain range and everything. You guys go ahead and subscribe to the channel and yeah, help support us and help support the growth there. Should be really, really good stuff. But that's all I got for you guys in this rendition. This sit rep. Thank you guys so much for jumping in and joining me. I can't believe we're already at like 50 minutes. I usually try to keep these things right around 45, maybe a little bit less, but you know, I get long winded and occasionally I take a break to sip on some coffee and we get a little bit, over the deadline. So, make sure you guys smash the like button on this. Hit the subscribe so you don't miss any of the future episodes. Thank you guys so much for your support. God bless. Stay safe out there. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.